We're in the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. The bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. The last, the third to last line, Be'emes Amru. So here the Mishnah said that the Chazan, the concern here is that we're going to, again, just please put yourself on mute if you're not, unless you're ready to speak, okay? So Be'emes Amru. So the Chazan, so when he would be helping the children read the Parsha, so they would, he's allowed to help them look, you know, to look where the Parsha is, but he himself is not allowed to read. So the Gemara says, Bahamart Resha, and behold, the Mishnah says in the beginning, Roeh, that the Chazan is allowed to see where the children are reading, so he knows where the Parsha is starting the next morning. My lav likros, does it not mean that he's allowed to read with them, which would seem to indicate that he is allowed to read, which seems to go against what we had said. So the Gemara says, lo, no, lisader roshe parshiosav, that that he is allowed to look by the light of the candle just to see sort of the beginning, the tops of the parshios, the headers essentially. That for that we're not concerned that he might read himself, but we are concerned that oh, 1 second, Dave Warsha said link not working. I apologize. 1 second. Sorry, hold on. But sorry about that. Okay, so it says here that the oh my gosh, Barry Boschek said it's not working. What is that? 787-09. Okay.
The one is yesterday is working.
The one from yesterday, 787.
44. The one that ends with 44.
Right, 787-093.
Well, the one that we used last night also, yeah. It's the same one.
Yeah. Okay. So it says here that so I may have to go back and forth. I apologize. So he said, Amrav Bar Shmuel, Avol Misader Hu Rashi Parshiosav. So you're allowed, even though a chazan is not allowed to read the whole parsha, he's allowed to read the tops, the headers of the parsha, in other words, the sections, but not the whole parsha itself. So the Braisa asks, and now the Gemara continues, the top of Daf Yud Gimel Aleph, Meisve. So they question the Bnei Yeshiva question. It says invalid. Let's say why. Sorry. Okay, so Meisve, we have a question. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hatinoko shel beis rabbim, the children who study in the house of their Rebbe, Hayu misadim parshioseim v'kori lor haner. So they would organize their parsha on the night of Shabbos, Friday night, and they would read by the light of the candle. So it seems that the kids themselves would read the whole parsha, not just the headers. So how can that be? I thought we're concerned that they're going to twist the wick and therefore violate the prohibition of Havara. So the Gemara answers, if you want to say Rashi Parshiosav, no, maybe the kids would also, maybe they only read the headers. Iboisema, shiny tinokos hova emas rabban aleim lo asilats luye. So maybe the Rebbe is not allowed to read because no one's going to be, he's not afraid of anyone. And so he's going to be reading and he's going to make a mistake potentially and move the wick. But the kids, since they have a Rebbe watching them, then they're going to be more scared not to do anything without their Rebbe's consent. So they're allowed to read the whole parsha. Okay. So now the Gemara, so the next topic, Kayotze Bo Lo Yochal HaZav. So similar to this, so the Zav is not allowed to eat with the zava, because when the male who has a seminal discharge and the woman who has a discharge, not at the time, or the blood comes out, not at the time of her period. So so they can't eat together because they might, commit a sin. They might be intimate with each other. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Bo'ur Eyad Heichan, Partsa, Tara B'Yisrael. Come and see how strong the Tahara is among Klal Yisrael. Shalosh Shaninu, Lo Yochal Atar Ima Tamea. We don't say that a Tahar cannot eat with someone who's Tameh, with one who's Tameh. Because apparently there we were so, they didn't need to make a Gzeira decree that they shouldn't do that. Because even Chulin, essentially someone who was Tahor, essentially they would not eat with their wives in their state of Tumah. So in other words, nowadays it was not just simply not being intimate with one's spouse when one is Tameh. There's also issues of if you're in a state of Tumah, of ritual impurity, so you can make the food also ritually impure. You didn't have to make this gezeira that they cannot eat together. Because why? Because they would do it on their own. So that shows how special, how careful people were with Tumah and Tahara. I'm sorry, I have to just, what's that? One second. So it says, I'm sorry, Ella lo yochal hazavim hazava mipnei hergel aveira. Rather, it's only a zav and a zava that we're concerned with, but not a tame and tahara. So kayotze bo. Similar to this, the Chacham made a gzeira shlo yochal zav parush im zav amaretz. Similar to this, they made a decree that a zav who is a parush. And if you've ever heard the term of Pharisees, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So one of the words of parush is someone who is, that comes from the word, by the way, Pharisee. And from the word parush means that they separate. That the zav who only eats chulin, regular food, also in a state of tahara, ritual impurity, which was astringency. So he would not eat with a zav who is an am haaretz. A zav, now here am haaretz doesn't mean an ignorant person. This means someone who wasn't careful about eating regular food in a state of tahara, of ritual purity. Shema, this was a stringency, by the way, that if you were tameh to eat food in a state of tahara, so this was a stringency. But still, someone who was a zav, who was careful with not to eat chulin in a state of tuma, regular food, chulin, regular food, instead of ritual impurity, he would not eat with a zav who is someone who is not careful with this. Shema yargilenu etzlo, because maybe they would eat typically. The zav would regularly eat by this am haaretz, even though the zav right now is in a state of tuma, ritual impurity. Nevertheless, even in this a state of ritual impurity, he would not eat with a zav who's an am haaretz. So the Gemara asks, the chimar gila etzlo I have. What's the problem if they eat together? We're concerned that maybe the am haaretz will feed the parush, the one who's more careful, impure foods, like basically non-kosher foods. So the Gemara asks the following. The Gemara says, Im atu zav parush lav devarm tmeim acha. Why? I don't understand. Does a zav who is parush, does he not eat? Right? Does a zav who is parush, he doesn't eat devarm tmeim? In other words, everything that he touches, like what's the concern here? He doesn't eat things that are tame. Well, what's the concern here? That's not so realistic concern. Amar baye gezeira shema yachilenu dvarim she'enem mutukanim. So we're concerned that maybe the zav might eat foods that are not that for which that's untithed, basically food that's untithed, that doesn't, that you didn't separate trumas and masros. The Rav Amar, Rava says, Rov ame haaretz masrim him. Most people who are quote ame haaretz, they do separate masros. Ella, what's the concern? Why a zav who's parush cannot eat with the zav who's an ame haaretz? Shema yehe rugel atzlo. Maybe they will eat regularly together. V'achilenu devarim tameim bimei taraso. And maybe, hold on, one second. Here we got variant. Okay. Barry, okay, Barry's in. Okay, so maybe someone wants to WhatsApp David Warshaw. Someone can WhatsApp him and tell him that Barry got in. Okay, someone can WhatsApp him. So, in any case, the concern here is that maybe that the parush will basically, even in days of ritual purity when they're both tahor, that the one who is an amaris might feed him non kosher food. This is obviously like a general question of feeding kosher and non-kosher, that's a concern. They're very careful about this. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to talk about the rules of harchakos, of distancing a woman who's a nida from her husband. The Gemara says, Ibailahu, the b'nei ha-yeshiva, the students had a debate, had a doubt. Nida ma'u she'tishan imbala, hi bebigdo v'hu bebigdo. Is a woman who's a nida allowed to sleep with her husband when they're both clothed? Are we concerned that they're going? Hold on. Sorry. Are we concerned that they're both going to be intimate together, right? Are they concerned that they're both going to be intimate together, or are we going to say no? That's only concerned when they're unclothed, but when they're clothed, we're not concerned that they're going to be intimate together. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ta Shema, come in here. We're going to try to resolve this doubt." Ha'of Ola Imagvina. He wants. Al hashulchan, ve'eno nechal. So you're allowed to have a piece of chicken near some cheese on the same table that you're eating on. But obviously you can't eat chicken together with cheese. The prohibition to eat chicken together with cheese is a rabbinic prohibition. The Torah only says that you are not allowed to eat beef with dairy, but chicken with cheese, that is something that you are allowed to eat. So, in any case, divrei Beis Shammai, that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel omrim lo olev v'lo nechal. Beis Hillel says, when it comes to chicken and cheese, you cannot eat together, and you cannot have them on the same table. So we see, according to Beis Hillel, they made a decree not to place the cheese even together with the chicken, even though, right, so similarly they want to argue that, and that's like a faraway decree, right, because to eat chicken with cheese is only a rabbinic prohibition, and we're not even allowing them to have it on the same table, even though the only concern if they're eating together is a rabbinic prohibition, so too we see how far we have some harchakos, some distancing from each other. So from here it would seem that Beis Hillel would hold that just like you can't even have the chicken on the same table as the cheese because you might eat them together, so too we would prohibit Anida and her husband to sleep in the same bed because they might lead to an aveira, to a sin. The Gemara pushes off this proof. Shiny hasam de leka deos. You say no, that's different. When it comes to cheese and and the chicken, so there. There aren't, when it comes to that, we say you can't do that because maybe the intent of these two people, they're not going to mention to each other the prohibition. One person is placing a piece of cheese on the table. Another person is placing a piece of chicken on the table. They may not know each other. They're not going to remind each other, oh my gosh, don't eat from me. I shouldn't eat from you. They might not remind each other. However, when it comes to a husband and wife, they're two people. Even if one, the husband or the wife, is overcome with passion to be intimate with the other, so the other person will remind them. We're dealing with religious people who want to keep Torah, and the concern is simply they're going to forget. So if either the husband or the wife is going to forget and want to be intimate with the other one, if they're fully clothed, then maybe the other one will remind them, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. So Hachidav Mistabra, this makes sense. The Hecha Deika Deo Shiny, that when people, the two people know each other, then it's different because one will remind the other not to sin. Because in fact, when it comes to the chicken and milk halacha, it says the following, Katani Seifa, Rabban Shimon, Ben Gamliel Omer, Shnei Achsonim, two guests who are in one inn. That when the two know each other, right? When I'm sorry, my mistake before. The issue before is I'm sorry.
The chicken and the cheese. There only has to be one person.
Right. I apologize. My mistake. Right. The initial case of the chicken and the cheese is one person putting a piece of chicken and a piece of cheese on the table. So there we're concerned. There we have the gezeira, the decree that they shouldn't eat it. That one person can put a piece of chicken and a piece of cheese on the table together, because there we're concerned that he's going to forget, he's going to eat it. When it comes to the husband and wife, so there are two people. One's going to remind the other not to sin, and therefore the latter part of the Mishnah says. I apologize. The latter part of the Mishnah says, the Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you have two people with the chicken and the cheese, then that's good enough. And you can have one person put a piece of cheese, one person can put a piece of chicken, and we're not concerned that they're going to feed each other the food because there are two people, one will remind the other. And the Gemara pushes off this proof and says the opposite. V'lav eat marlav, but didn't we say about this Mishnah, Rav Chanin, Bar Ami Omar Shmuel, lo shano elke she'ein, Makirin Zedzeh. That's the only situation where they don't recognize each other. And then there's not a concern that I'm going to take your food. You're not going to take my food, right? If I put my piece of chicken on the table and I don't know you, and you put your piece of cheese on the table and you don't know me, I'm not going to take your food. You're not going to take my food. So in that case, you're allowed to do that. Aval Makirin Zedzeh. But if we recognize each other, Asurim. Because if two of us, let's say two of us, we know each other, we're friends, and I put my piece of cheese on the table, and you put your piece of chicken on the table, there's a concern that I'm going to take your food, you're going to take my food. We're friendly. We eat from each other. So in that case, it would be forbidden. And if that's forbidden, then Haninami, then certainly, Makirin says Aninu, then certainly with the husband and wife who are together, we are concerned if they are together and sleeping in the same bed, and the woman's Anita, even if they are fully clothed. Now, the Gemara is going to try to reject that raya, reject that proof that forbids. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. He says, are you going to compare the Nida and her husband with the guests who recognize the guests who recognize each other with the cheese and the chicken? Hasam Deos Ika Shinui Leika. He says, maybe we're strict when you have a man, you have two people, two men, two women, a man and a woman who know each other, who are sitting at a picnic lunch, and one has cheese and one has chicken, and it's normal, you know, there's no difference in their table setting, and so one, you know, I'll take your food, you take my food. There's no distinction that either side does when it comes to their table etiquette. But halcha ika deos vika shinoi. But when it comes to the husband and the wife, people typically, generally speaking, husband and wife usually sleep when they're permitted to each other, close to each other, physically close to each other. Here they are in a bed; it is together, but they're each clothed and they're not touching each other. So since not only are they two different people, and one hopefully will remind each other, but they're also doing something different while they are sleeping, and therefore they will remind each other not to make a mistake. So they're saying it's not necessarily a proof. But in practice, we don't allow it. But we'll see. Yeah.
We can't learn from the Daf Yomi last night with the story of Michal that if you put a sword or something in the bed to remind you not to have relations, that would be okay.
A sword. So I don't have a sword. No. So again, there are certain things. So you should know when it comes to there are certain times where we have a heker in halacha. Like, for example, a woman who's Anida with her husband are not allowed to eat together because we're afraid that, you know, it's like a romantic dinner and he's going to be overcome with passion. The husband will be overcome with passion and they will want to be intimate with each other. But if they put something, you know, a heker, a distinction so that it works. So sometimes in halacha it does work when it comes to being in the same bed. So, I don't know, the halacha doesn't speak of placing a sword, but there are certain times that a heker, a distinction does work, sometimes where the concern is so great that they're going to be overcome with passion, like in the bed together, so there even a heker will not work. So it depends on the particular situation. Ika da'amri, there are those who say, ta, shma, come in here, Rav Shem Galil Omer, shnei achsaniyim ochlim al shulchan echad, ze basar ve ze gvida, two guests who are eating with one table, one with meat and one with cheese. The itmar alad was said in the base medrash regarding this mishnah. Amar avchanin bar ami amar shmul lo shanu elish ein makirin zed zed. It's like when they don't recognize each other. But makirin zed zed aser. But when they recognize each other, it's forbidden. The harinami makirin zed zed ninu. And here by the nida and her husband, so they recognize each other and therefore they can't be together. Hasam, the Gemara pushes this off. Deos ika shinui leka. So it's another way of reading this, that you can't bring a proof from the cheese and chicken case because there's no shinoi, that you're not eating in a different way, but when the husband and wife are together and they're in their clothes, so there, that is a difference, and therefore there's no concern that they're going to make a mistake. The Gemara tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah, that when there are two different people, when there are two different people, it's forbidden. And the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. All right, whenever the Gemara says Tashma, they try to bring a proof. Come in here. Lo yochal hazav im hazav mishum heger alaveira. Azav, a man who has a discharge of the woman who sees blood not in time or period, that they cannot eat together because we're concerned that they're going to be intimate with each other, even though they're two different people. Hachadabi deos ika shiroi leka. So even here, so what do we see? That it's forbidden. In this situation, even when there are two different people, even when there's no distinction, even when there's no difference, no change in the eating. So this is simply a proof to say that even when there are two different people, it's still forbidden when there's a concern that they're going to sin. The Gemara is going to bring a brisa explicit to say this from a pasuk. Tashma el haharim lo achal ve'enav lo nasa. El Gilule Beis Yisrael Ves Eishet Rei Lo Timev El Isha Nida Lo Yikrav. So this is a pasuk from Yechezkel that says, to the mountains he didn't eat and his eyes didn't look to the abominations of the house of Israel and the wife of his friend. He did not become Tame with the wife of his friend. That means adultery. Vel Isha Nida Lo Yikrav. And to a woman who was a Nida, he did not come close. So the pasuk talks about adultery right next to the prohibition of having relations, a woman who's a nida with a husband, and vice versa. Mekish isha nida le'eshes re'ehu. The pasuk compares having relations with a wife who's a nida with having adultery. Ma eshes re'ehu hu b'bigdo v'hi b'bigdo aser. Just like a man with a married woman cannot be together when they're both wearing clothing, even to seclude with each other in a room is forbidden from the Torah. Af ishto nida hu b'bigdo aser. So therefore the same applies even with a wife who is a nida. Shma mina. So we with the Gemara conclude that indeed it is forbidden for a man to sleep with his wife who is a nida, even in the same bed, even when they are both fully clothed. Ufliga, the Rabbi Pedas, and this is an argument on Rabbi Pedas, Dabba Rabbi Pedas, Loasra Torah, Ela Kurva Shagilu Arayos. He says, no, the only type of Torah prohibition, again, we're talking about Torah prohibitions, the only type of Torah prohibition is actual physical, is intercourse. Shenemar, Ish El Kosha Er Besaro Lo Sikrivu Lagalos Erva. That the prohibition is only what it's legalos erva, okay? But if it's simply touching each other in an affectionate way, that is only rabbinically forbidden. Only at the actual physical act is a biblical prohibition. So this is a debate, just to be very clear, this debate is a debate on a Torah level. There could be rabbinic prohibitions to distance oneself as well, but we're talking about a Torah prohibition. Is a Torah prohibition legalos erva, actual, the physical act, or is it kiruv gilu erva, actions which draw close, which could lead to what those are? So that's a discussion. but that's a discussion amongst the Rishon, amongst the halachic authorities. But the broad debate of the Gemara is whether the act is forbidden or even some things which could likely lead to it, and that's probably obviously a discussion, what are those actions. But one of them is certainly sleeping in the same bed, even fully clothed. Okay, the Gemara is now going to bring the custom of Ula. Ula ki havi asi bibei rav hava bedashik lehu lach vose aboy abei chadaihu v'amrila abei yadaihu. Ula, when he would come from the base medrash, he would kiss his sisters, I guess, near their chest. And some say, but on their arms. Okay? And upliga dide adide. And it would seem that his behavior was seemed to be inconsistent with what he said. Amar Ula, afilu shum kurva aser. He said that any type of coming close is forbidden. And he's doing this with his sisters. Mishum lech lech amar nazira schor schor lakarma lo tikra. So this is an expression that sometimes they say, that lech lech, go. You know, go, they say to the nazir. To the nazir is someone who cannot, you know, be close to, he cannot drink wine and let his hair grow out. He can't go to funerals. So we tell the nazir, go to the circle around the kerem, schor schor, le karmelo sikra, circle around the vineyard. You should go, but don't come close to the vineyard because maybe you will eat grapes from it. So similarly, that's an expression that sometimes you find in the Gemara.
Yeah, he would be prohibited to his sisters anyhow. So while we're bringing a raya,
sorry,
he would be prohibited from the Torah from having relations with his sisters. So
what he's saying is that he had said that not all, obviously you can't. I'm sorry. You cannot be physically intimate. But he said you also have to distance yourself, even by, you know, an affectionate, you know, act of affection. And yet, what did he do? He would kiss his sisters. So how could he do that if that is kiruv basar, if that's coming close? So the reason why Ula said that the reason why Ula allowed himself to do that is that he knew by himself that this would not lead to, for him, improper thoughts. He was a righteous person. And there's a story in the Gemara in Ksuv of Daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph that says Rav Ada Bar Ava, that he would put a kala, a bride, on his shoulders and he would dance. You wouldn't find that in any weddings now, or I don't say any weddings. You know, in other words, this is a story of Rav Ada Bar Ava, the frumest of the frumest, most religious. He would put the bride on his shoulders. He wasn't related to her. And so you wouldn't find the Gedolei Hador nowadays placing Torah giants, placing the kala on their shoulders. And they would ask, like, how are you allowed to do this? And he would say, she's like a beam. In other words, he was on such a level. So again, that's, you know, there's a certain level that Ula had that I don't think that's relevant for most of us nowadays. But that's his point, that even though that he said, you know, kiruv basar is forbidden, so sometimes people would make, you know, the exception. Again, it would seem that his distancing was only on a rabbinic level, and perhaps sometimes for a tzaddik, for a righteous person, it might not be prohibited. Again, let me be very clear. This would be probably what's called negia derech chiba. In other words, this is an affectionate touching. So he would argue that when he would kiss, somehow there's no feelings that not be an affectionate touching. And I think the halacha now is generally, you know, an affectionate touching in many instances is forbidden. That's why, you know, certain things, it's a broader conversation. In other words, what types of touching between peoples of the opposite gender are forbidden. So it might be only on a technical level, only negia derechiba is forbidden. Not with one's wife. When one's wife is a nida, so even non-affectionate touching is forbidden, because there's a greater concern that it might lead to a prohibited act because one is used to being with one's spouse. But when it comes to someone who is not someone who's not one's wife, so for the opposite gender, it's generally only negia derechiba, only something that touching with affectionate touching is forbidden. Of course, you know, I don't It's, for me, my personal practice is try to avoid it in general because it's hard to sometimes distinguish between affection and non-affection touching. That's a obviously a broader conversation, and we're doing this to daf. Tana Dvei Eliyahu. So Dvei Eliyahu. So we have a brayso said in the name of Eliyahu Anabi. Whenever it says Tana Dvei Eliyahu, that's said in the name of Eliyahu Anabi. There was a student who learned a lot of mishnayot, and he learned a lot of Torah, any service, Tamir Chachavim. But he died, and he died in half his lifetime, half his years. And his wife would take his tefillin, and she would circle around them in the shuls and in the Bate Medrash. And she would say among those who were sitting with them, it says in the Torah that this is your life. Bale Shishana Harbe, Bale Shana Harbe, Vakara Harbe. My husband who studied Torah and he learned a lot and he serviced Talmid Chachamim. Why did he die in half his days? And no one was able to respond to her. Tragedy. One time I was with her and she told me the entire story. When you were in need, there was he. How did he act with you? She said to me, he did not even touch me with even my small finger. And I continued to ask her, in the Shiva Nikim, the 7 days where she was, the 7 clean days after she was a Nida, after she was a Zava, that on a Torah level, if a woman sees blood not in the time of her period, during that time period, so she is called a Zava. If she's at 3 days in a row, she's called a Zava. And after that, she needs 7 clean days. Nowadays, we're strict that even a woman who's a Nida has to have 7 clean days after she stops bleeding. But in any case, he says, in the days of your white clothing, meaning that the 7 clean days, Mahu Etzleh, how was he with you? So she said, she said, we didn't have any restrictions. The only restriction we had, we weren't intimate together. But we ate together, we drank together, we slept together, we were physically together. But we didn't have the act of sexual relations. So now, he says, okay, you know, I understand why God killed you. He didn't act appropriately according to the Torah. That he says you can't come close to a woman in her state of nida. And obviously, again, it's hard to know how this issue weighs against all the other wonderful things this scholar did. So this story obviously simply emphasizes the point that even that one needs to distance oneself with one's wife when she's a nida, even during her 7 clean days. Kiyasa Rav Dibi Amar, when Rav Dibi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Mita Chada Havia, I had one bed, but it was very wide. So I had one bed, it was very wide, and we didn't physically touch each other. The Marava Amri Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Sinar Mafsik Beino Leveda. There was this kind of like a belt that she would wear that sort of would protect from him having relations, and that would serve as a heker, some kind of way to stop him, to stop them from having relations to each other. So again, you know, there were different views on that. In practice, you know, we in halacha is we don't sleep in the same bed when the woman's anita, so we don't sleep in the same bed. But this was obviously disputed in the days of the Gemara. Okay, the Mishnah now says, remember the Mishnah on 2 dapim ago. We said that you cannot clean your clothes from lice, and you can't read by the light of the candle. And we the Mishnah explained that when they made the gzeira. And the Mishnah says ve'elu bin halachos she'amru ba'aliyas shel Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon shel Levakro. And these decrees were among those halachos that were ruled on in the upper chambers of Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, that they went to visit him. They went to visit him one day. And when they visited him, they made 18 different decrees. Nimnu v'rabu be'shamay al beis hillel. During this time, when they were visiting him, they were discussing halachic issues, and it happened to be the school, you know, there were two different schools, you know, like Republicans and Democrats, or I don't know, or different yeshivish and modern Orthodox, whatever it was, they were deciding halacha. And usually the followers of Beis Hillel outnumbered the followers of Beis Shammai, but here, when they were making the halacha, the followers of Beis Shammai were greater than the followers of Beis Hillel, and they were Shmona Asar Dvarim Gazru. They made decrees on 18 things Bobayom during that time. Now the Gemara asked the following question. Amarle Abayla Rav Yosef, Elu Tanan, O Ve'elu Tanan. When the Mishnah says Elu, does it mean Elu or Ve'elu? What's the difference? Okay, does it say these are the halachos or and these are the halachos? What's the difference? So he says, I'm sorry, one second. Hani da Amrad, right? In other words, does it mean when it says if it's ve'elu tanan, then it means and these, and it's referring to and these the preceding things that we learned. In other words, the decree of not cleaning your garment from lice or reading by the light of the candle, that these were among the 18 decrees. Oh, elu tanan, or without the vav. What we're going to learn in the future. So had the Mishnah said ve'elu, it's referring to what was learned previously. It includes what was learned previously. If it's elu, then it's what we're going to learn in the future, in the next Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin. So the Gemara tries to resolve this doubt. The Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. Ein poli lo raner, vein kori lo raner, ve'elu min halacha shavu v'aliyas charem ben chizko ben garot. So we have an explicit brisa which says ve'elu. Apparently the Mishnah, they weren't sure, but they found a brisa. Brisa is a Tanaitic source that did not make its way into the Mishnah. So we prove from here that it's ve'elu, and therefore shvamida. So we conclude that's a good proof, and therefore the two decrees of not reading by the light of the candle of the oil lamp and not cleaning your garments of lice. So this was among the 18 things that were said in the upper chamber of Charai ben Chisa ben Garot. Now we're going to say some things about Charai ben Chizkiah. Tanu Rabbanan, rabbis teach. Mi kastav es Megillas Tadis. Who wrote Megillas Tadis? Okay, Megillas Tadis was a scroll that. On this scroll, it lists a whole bunch of holidays that we should celebrate, and most of these holidays were from the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, when really special things happened, and there were these wonderful miracles that happened. And after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, all of the second temple period holidays were all rendered null and void, with the exception of Purim and Hanukkah. So who wrote this scroll in Megillas Tanis? Amru, Chananya ben, and by the way, so what were the rules? So the rules were, during, how do we celebrate many of these days? So we celebrated them that you weren't, we celebrated them in a negative way. What do I mean by that? You were not allowed to fast, and you were not allowed to, some also, you were not allowed to make eulogies, because these were some miracles that happened during the time of Second Beis Hamikdash. In any case, Amru, Chananya ben Chisav Siyato, Shei Mechavi Besatsaros. So who wrote these things? Chananya ben Chizkiah and his friends, that they loved, not, they didn't love the tsaros, the calamities, but they were so in love they were so in love whenever there was a calamity and they were redeemed from the calamities. And this is, thank you, Hashem. So they realized this was, that we have to praise Hashem for this. So therefore they said, we got to make a holiday. So they were, so they saw the hand of God always in their lives. We also love the when we're redeemed from these calamities. He said, if we were able to write all the calamities that happened to us, unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to write all of them, because they're unfortunately so common. Davar acher, ein shota nifka. So a shota who recognizes, you know, all these issues, he doesn't, Shota doesn't recognize everything that happens to them. And so we don't recognize all the miracles that God performs for us. Okay. Davar acher, another reason why we don't write all these different miracles nowadays. Ein besar habes margish bi izebel. The skin of a dead person doesn't realize what's it, Izebel, how do you translate it? A knife? How do you translate it? A kind of scalpel. Like a razor or a scalpel that cuts it. So we are like dead people, that we don't realize all the calamities that befall upon us and how God saves us. The Gemara says, wait a second, Edie, is that really true? So apparently, somehow the Rav Yitzchak says that the sting of a worm, is hard for a corpse, like a needle in a live flesh, and somehow the pasuk seems to indicate that a dead body also senses a scalpel. So how can you say it doesn't? So Ema, that's a pasuk, so I don't know how to comment on that. Ema, ein, it might be something metaphysical, I'm not sure. Ema, ein besar hamei shebechai margish bizevo. So what it means to say is a corpse that when he was living, he had some kind of wound, so then he doesn't feel that. But so he's saying that a corpse when he was living, he had some kind of wound, he doesn't sense that scalpel. Okay. In any case, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, B'ram Zachor Oso Ish L'Tov V'Chayav Ben Chizkiyah Shemo. So he says the following, that Hananiah ben Chizkiyah should be remembered favorably. Why? She'il Molehu, without him, Nigna Sefer Yechezkel. The book of Yechezkel would be hidden. She'hayu Devar of Sotim and Divrei Torah. There are many things in the book of Yechezkel which contradict the words of the Torah. For example, in the book of Yechezkel, it says that only, it says that Kohanim are not allowed to eat nevelos and trefos, animals that have not been shechted properly, or animals that, let's say, had a fatal defect in them. So it seems, based on that, that Jews are allowed to eat nevelos and trefos, non-kosher food. So people said we should not include the book of Yechezkel in the canon of Tanakh because it includes things that are that seem to contradict the Torah. So Ma'asa, what did Hananiah ben Chizkiyah do? Helu lo shalosh meos garbi sheben. He brought to the upper chamber of his house 300 barrels of oil for wicks. So that it should be lit at night, and for his food, also oil for his food, and basically be Yashab Elias the Drashan. So he sat and he was able to reconcile the apparent contradictory verse of Yechezkel with the Torah verses. So for example, and this is how he does it, it's found in Gemara Menachos, but just to say it now, this will be a few years before we get to Mesechet Menachos, he said that, for example, since the Torah allows Kohanim to eat that the meat of a sin offering from a bird. And how do you kill a bird? How do you kill a bird that's a sin offering? You don't do shechita, you don't slaughter it. You flick off the head with your fingernail. It's called malika. So you don't do shechita. And there the Kohen is allowed to eat the meat from the Korban Chatas, the sin offering, even though there was not Shechita, it was not slaughtered properly. So you might have thought that maybe he's also allowed to eat unslaughtered meat, even if it's not based on a Korban. So that's why Yechezkel says that the Kohen would not be allowed to eat, unslaughtered meat. It's not to tell you a Kohen no, but a regular Jew yes. It's coming to tell you that the Kohen who's allowed to eat unslaughtered meat by the bird sacrifice, that only applies to the sacrifice, but not for regular meat. Okay, and then let's just read a little bit to the end. The Mishnah says Shimona Asar Davar Gazru Bo, they made 18 decrees in that day. The Gemara is going to now explain what those 18 things are. We're going to begin the conversation today. We're going to continue it tomorrow. Maininu, what are the 18 things? Ditnan, we learn a Mishnah. Elu Posli Mesatruma. These are things that invalidate truma from eating if you touch them. So one is ha'ochel ochel rishon, the ochel ochel shady. So normally speaking, if a person eats food that is a Rishon Latuma or a Sheni Latuma. What does that mean? If someone is Tame, let's say someone is ritually impure and he touches food, that food becomes what's called a Rishon Latuma. It's a lower status of Tuma. And if that food touches, let's say some other food, so that's a Sheni Latuma. That's a secondary type of Tuma. So if a person eats a food that's a Rishon Latuma or a Sheni Latuma, there's this lower level of ritual impurity. On a Torah level, he doesn't become impure. But on a rabbinic level, if that person who eats this lower level of food, that Tame, a Rishon or a Sheni Latuma, and then he touches Teruma, that's Kohen food, so then he is, the Teruma becomes Tame. And also, Vishosa Mashkim Tebeim. And someone who also drinks liquids that are tabe, similarly, and he touches truba, then the truba becomes tabe. Vaba rosha varu b'mayim she'uvim. You know, this is like very, this is a really new topic about tuma and tara. Let's pick up with this, with like four lines where we are. Let's say with four lines from the bottom, five lines from the bottom tomorrow on Daf Yud Gimel Beis, because this is really a new topic, and we're going to explain more of this, God willing, tomorrow. Okay? So we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. Everyone, I hope everyone has a good day. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, take care.